All right. You are listening to Local Waves on WGXC, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears. Local Waves is a new program that focuses on new local music, and in these segments, I'm connecting with people who are local musicians, but also involved in other aspects of the local music scene. And my name is Mike Amari, and I do Chosen Family Presents, and I've been putting on concerts in the Hudson Valley for over 10 years. And I'm excited to be joined today by Exie Davis, who, you know, I'll just give a little intro, has helped me put on a ton of shows, has, you know, put on shows herself in the Hudson Valley. And one aspect that I'm really interested in is that, like, you grew up in the Hudson Valley and have probably seen things evolve. So I want to talk about a lot of that stuff. And I also want to plug the human behavior shows that you've been putting on, which are mutual aid, fundraisers. You know, you've done it for Palestine funds. You've done it for fires on the West Coast. So Exie Davis, welcome to Local Waves.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be on.
This is actually my first segment, so you know, kind of figuring out how I want to do this thing. But I guess, yeah, so I guess where I want to start is sort of like the beginning, which is like, you grew up in the Hudson Valley, so can you talk a little about where you grew up, how you grew up in the area, and like, what was the music scene like when you were a kid, a teenager?
Well, you know, I grew up partially in Kingston and also across the river, a little in Poughkeepsie and Millbrook, and it's all totally different. But on, you know, this side of the river in Ulster County, it was pretty crunchy, you know, like I would get dropped off to ecstatic dance and go to the Clearwater Festival, and you know, I also like volunteered on the Clearwater. I got to meet Pete Seeger, which is pretty sick.
Right, so that was like folk music based, yeah, right? Clearwater.
Yeah, totally. And that was, I was all up in that, you know, like I would go there. I think it was called the Muddy Cup in New Paltz.
Yes, yes.
I'd be like, yep, you know, 16, and I'd go to the open mic and play like Masters of War. And so like, you know, really crunchy stuff. I, you know, got to go to some Levon Helm rambles in his original, you know, place. And yeah, I mean, you know, growing up here, especially like, there's just things that happen in this area that maybe wouldn't happen in, you know, other parts of upstate. Like, you know, when I was a teenager, I worked in Woodstock and at this juice bar called, it's still there, Sunfrost Farms. And, just, you know, like David Bowie would come in like multiple times, and he would just look like a Woodstock dad with like, you know, high socks, Birkenstocks, dirty shirt, cargo shorts, and just be like, hello. I'd be like, whoa. And also, like, you know, I remember I was listening to Bad Brains a lot, and I had just given myself a PMA tattoo, my very first tattoo, and this guy Gary worked there, and I had no idea that he was Dr. No from Bad Brains, and I would, yeah, put Bad Brains on, and he would turn it off, and, you know, he's just, you know, we had a lot of camaraderie between us, but he was, you know, a grumpy guy, and he was like, you know, what are you doing? And that was obviously embarrassing.
Did you ever go to like those like all ages hardcore punk shows that were in Woodstock at the recreation center?
I probably did. I mean, you know, like when I was a teenager, a lot of house shows and, you know, Magic Meadows bonfires and stuff. So, and Magic Meadows was like, you know, some OG Woodstock people, you know, bongos and all of that. Yeah, I probably have gone to that. And, you know, I used to go to the Chants a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Chants, yeah. R.I.P.
Was that a place that you could sneak into, or was it just that the covers were low, like, and they had like, more, like, you know, younger bands and stuff?
So the downstairs was technically, it was all ages. So like my sibling, my friends and stuff, her mom would drop us off. And then upstairs was more so like the kind of gnarly bar hardcore stuff. And that one we'd sneak up to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I look back on it now and it was a kind of a rough place. And, you know, I'd be like 14 and I'd go see like Real Big Fish and stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, like the stuff that I listen to now was influenced in some ways, obviously, by everything I grew up with. And I grew up, you know, around some really not artists, like my family aren't, you know, really artists on any side, but they appreciate music. And you know, my mom would like take me to see BB King and stuff like that, and yeah. Aretha Franklin and all these other artists. So you know, there's always been stuff to do, but it's shifted, obviously. It's well, different now.
It's interesting because I and the reason I'm, you know, so interested in that is because, at least in my experience, so many of the people who are putting on shows and doing, you know, forming bands and stuff, so much of that up here is people who are not actually born and raised in the Hudson Valley.
Yeah.
And they're drawn to the area because of this long history and interesting, you know, things that have happened here, like artistically.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I found interesting is, so you did all that. You went and were a musician and toured and did all this stuff, which we should get into, but you came back a couple years ago, and so I'm just wondering like what that was like coming back into this scene. It was during the pandemic,
right? And
yeah,
I mean, it was a brand new place. I had to kind of make the choice to experience it as a new place. You know, there's plenty of, you know, run into someone I was coworkers with when I was like 15 or something, you know, things like that. But, yeah, I mean, viewing it as a brand new place, especially this side of the river, cause I didn't, you know, I had never really been to Hudson and all of that. So it's a newer place to me. And, yeah, I mean, it's been exciting. I didn't expect for it to be so cool, honestly. Like I came back, I didn't intend to stay. I thought I was just, you know, gonna handle some family stuff. I met you, I started working at Opus and doing all this other stuff, and really kind of had a totally new experience of being in this area, and appreciating the music scene and the people here, and how it's just a different kind of community. You know what I mean? Like everybody's kind, I mean, if I'm being honest, everybody's pretty wholesome, like in a really nice, earnest way that I really appreciate after, you know, being in punk scenes in the city and living in LA for 11 years in the Bay and all these different things. Like it's really refreshing to be around people that like really, really genuinely support each other and put everything into their music. And you know, when they're showing up to your show or if they're playing a show, they're, you know, not, you know, half-assing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very small community up here, so it's like, yeah. And there's also this element of like we're up in rural areas, so like if no one is just like strolling down the street and, oh, something's going on, let me go check it out. It's like everything is intentional. So whatever show you do, even if there's only 20 people at the show, it's like they all made an effort, and some of them may have driven 45 minutes to an hour away from the other yeah. parts of the Hudson Valley. So it's like even in the smallness of it, it's very it does feel rich.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of everything. I mean, like, you know, I have been in like punk bands and all kinds of things, and you know, when I was in LA, I got really for the first time really into like electronic music, and I'm not like referring to like EDM, you know, just all kinds of techno and all, you know, there's a huge scene in LA.
Yeah.
And I do love to rave. and I really appreciate that like that's here, and like, Bom Bom does these like pareo parties. Like there's everything that I pretty much like. It's just not as constant, which I also I also appreciate that, because for me, it gives, it breaks up space for more experiences and all this
stuff. It's pretty rare that you have to decide between two things that you really want to go to, you know, for the most part. It seems like there's enough to sort of fill your calendar, but you know, like I said, that, you know, on a, especially on a weekday, there's probably, if there's anything going on, there's one thing, and you know, so it's like you're either going or you're not, you know, and it's not like which thing am I going to, or trying to hit multiple things, you know. So I guess can we talk a little bit about when you left the area and how you got into, like, you know, being a musician, touring, and then also like DIY shows. Like, how did that all happen?
You know, like when I was a teenager up till probably like, you know, maybe 19, I mean, I always listened to punk in different regards, and I was playing pretty like twee music. There was a twee
Did you have any bands in the Hudson Valley when you were like in high school or something?
In high school, I had like a noise project with my boyfriend and his friend, and like I did some stuff then, but I taught myself guitar. I was playing, I also studied opera, so it was kind of a full spectrum type of thing. Realized that like I didn't really want to do opera professionally. It's just not my scene. I still love opera, it's gorgeous, but like not my vibe. And then I left the area when I was like 18, 19, and moved to the city, and then just started playing in a bunch of different punk bands, and had a lot of fun. You know, it was, I also learned how to play bass because I was playing, you know, with other friends, formed bands, and then I was dating this guy, and they needed a bassist because they were about to go on tour. And I had to learn all the songs and how to play bass in like a week.
Trial by fire.
And it was great. It was a great first tour. It was with Japanther and Unstoppable Death Machines, and it was South by Southwest. So we got to play with all these sick bands. And Japanther, like, you know, New York classic. They already had, you know, all these shows lined up, and you know, a lot of relationships along the way.
And then was it in LA that you got into like having a shared space for DIY shows and for, you know, whatever kind events?
Yeah, that's when I started like actually booking stuff myself.
Like, how did you get into it? Like, did you get the space first, or did you seek it out and know that you wanted to do it, or like, how did it?
It's actually interesting because a lot of things come full circle, and the first few shows that I was booking were mutual aid shows for, you know, for friends that had stuff happen to them that needed support in all these different ways.
So it was in response to something that it was like, oh, well, we could do something about this.
At, you know, my friends' DIY spaces. And then I, with some friends, like, you know, decided to go get a venue and start that up. And it was, you know, it's always a learning curve, obviously. It was like, let's, come on, friends, all four of us, let's do it. And I was the only one that was booking the shows and running them while I was also playing shows. Like, when I was in Brooklyn, the tail end of Brooklyn, like, that's when I started writing songs on bass and, you know, like, singing them, and that, like, kind of shifted how I played music. And so when I moved to LA, I started playing, you know, solo stuff on bass. And actually, my first show in LA was at this really rad spot called Pear Space. And my first show,
I know that
show,
I played there.
It's not there anymore. But and I played a show. My first show there was with David Lieberhart, which was great. It was really easy in LA too. It was just like, you know, if you're out in, you know, out at shows, you meet other people, other bands, and it was really easy for me to just kind of fall into community there. And I played a show solo at this venue that Don Bowles from the Germs kind of ran. And this guy came up and he was like, you know, do you need a drummer? And I was like, yeah, I guess so, you know. And so we met the next day. And it was just like one of those effortless things. I played in my songs and like immediately he filled in the parts and it was perfect. And we literally never had to have a discussion about how things should be. They just were like a perfect fit. And we played a ton, you know, all the time. And so, you know, I was playing a ton of shows. And then I started running the venue that I had for about 3 years called Honey Trap. And it was really fun.
How often were you doing an event or a show or whatever there? Was it like once a week or?
Once
every couple weeks?
No. God, no. It was full on.
Yeah, like more than that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty much every Friday and Saturday and then, you know, some Thursdays. And it wasn't always shows. Like I tried to break it up with like community kind of stuff, like, you know, Narcan trainings and self-defense stuff and all kinds of things. And it was all different kinds of stuff. It was in this warehouse that was a, what was it? Like an old button factory or something in downtown. And it was a cool spot. You know, we built our like living spots. We like built them all ourselves and there was already a kitchen and a bathroom in it. And, you know, we walked in and we were like, okay, this is perfect. But yeah, it was a lot of work, you know, and while, you know, trying to do my own thing too. I just kind of made the decision that I wanted my life back and I was really happy that I was able to facilitate and like meet all the people that I did. But I definitely learned plenty of lessons along the way of, as you do, of what not to do and what worked, what didn't, what felt good, what didn't.
So, you know, you know, this show is about the Hudson Valley new local music. And so, like, I wanted to just bring it back around where you came back to the Hudson Valley. We connected. You were helping me put on shows and running a lot of events at Opus 40. Mm-hmm. And then you were at Basilica last year, which you guys did some great programming there. And, you know, most recently you've been doing human behavior shows, which people can find online. And there aren't any coming up right now, but I'm sure there will be.
Yeah, I have one coming up on April 17th at Lil Debs.
Okay, cool.
We're doing a kind of
collab. Lil Debs in Hudson, we should say.
Lil Debs Oasis. We're doing a collab on April 17th. They do like a regular QNOP, Queer Night of Performance. And so, you know, we're tweaking it a little bit. Before that show, there's going to be upstairs a queer community clinic kind of vibe, and it's going to be like donation-based acupuncture, and Trans Closet is going to do some stuff, and this local trans lawyer that, like, you know, focuses in name change and workplace discrimination, all of that stuff, is going to do consultations, and it's to raise funds for a QTPOC community member that needs help with some, you know, housing stability. You know, and one of the things that thus far, like, I've done, you know, three of these, and instead of, like, you know, no shade to nonprofits and all these things that they do, but I specifically, like, it's important to me to take these funds that we're raising and hand them to a real person, you know, like the nebulous nonprofit donation.
Right. Or like the bureaucracy or the levels of, you know, distance from the steps between something where it's like nowadays, if you raise some money, you can Venmo or PayPal or whatever, it cash app it directly to someone in need who's, in a crisis or a part of the world that's being disintegrated. But there's sort of a through line there, I think, from like the DIY venue in LA and some mutual aid, like like friends in need fundraisers kind of thing, to what you're doing with Human Behavior, which is like filling a gap somewhere between like nonprofits and, you know, again, no shade on venues, but venues are need to make a certain amount of profit. Some of that's going to come from bar sales and stuff, you know, things that aren't really about art or about community. And they have to, because that's how they're going to pay their bills or their rent or whatever. But there is this like need, and it can move, you can move really quickly and like nimbly, and you know, within a few weeks of something happening, there can be an event, and there's all these great local artists that you've had on your lineups that donate their performance, who want to support it, who are around. You know, it's like, it's such a simple idea, and yet I don't see it happening that much. So, you know, thank you for doing those.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's something that I feel like I say it now at like all the shows, but it really is true. It's just like, you know, mutual aid is alchemy. That's just what it is. And, you know, it's really easy for me to book shows, for me to run shows. It's one of my skill sets, and it feels good personally for me to do it. But it also, I mean, the state of the world, obviously, like to be in a room that, first off, like the venue, the owners, you know, like Liam at Avalon and Corey at Tubby's and now Lil Debs, like, you know, I pitched these things to them. No question. They're like, this is free. Hell yeah. You know,
and those are all people that also come from DIY backgrounds. Yeah, so totally. I think there, that is sort of the common thread, is like how much you can do with so little when everyone chips in or donates their time or their, you know, their art, or, you know, there's so much that you can do.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, to first be in a space that is holding that intention, to have the bands, you know, everybody that's performed have been, I mean, amazing performers, but also like, once again, just like no questions, like I'm in, you know. And then everybody who's attending is just like, I get emotional sometimes, because it's just like, it's just so needed. I personally need it. I know everybody else does, to just be in a room with people that care, you know. It's it goes a long way.
And, you know, there are people, there are other dots being connected in the room. People are meeting for the first time, or some other idea is brewing that's going to come to fruition at another time. Like, it, you know, we need these like communal spaces for like the sparks to fly, you know, and for other things, you know what I mean? One event or one gathering leads to another and another. So, yeah, I think it's like so important. And those spaces are so important for that reason, just on a weekly basis. But, cool. Well, I think that's a lot of, chatting. This has been XE Davis, and I'm Mike Amari, and this is Local Waves. This is a new show on WGXC that focuses on new local music, and I know XE has a new band, so when you guys get your recordings happening, we will add those.
Yeah, it's brand new. It's called Spike Club. It's with my friends Rager and Seven and Aiden, and we've literally only had three practices, and we already have like seven songs. It's just one of those, like, you just instantly click.
That's going to be killer
when it's, you guys, really exciting.
You know, it's, start playing out and record something. And,
I'm excited about it.
Well, thanks for coming on. You know, everyone go check out Human Behavior online, and you know, go out and support one of these shows. Lil Debs, I'm sure there'll be more after that too.
Yeah, I'm talking to Liam about doing a Arthur Russell tribute show called Russell Fest in probably like June or July, which is just my personal dream. So. All the Russell heads.
All right, well, look forward to that.
Cool.
All right, thank you.